Hi, I'm Regina Cortina, and you're listening to the Functional Tennis Podcast.
Welcome to episode 25 of the Functional Tennis Podcast, brought to you by me, Fabio Molle, and with thanks to our sponsors, Head, for allowing us to have an editor to make me sound all nice. Last week, we reached 10,000 podcast listens, which is amazing. We're going the right direction. So I just want to say thanks to all the listeners, subscribers, and to Head. Let's keep moving forward and trying to grow this podcast. This week, we're speaking to pro photographer Regina Cortina. It's not the usual tennis player or tennis coach, but my goal from early on the Functional Tennis Podcast was to speak to other people who work in the tennis industry, as some of our listeners are interested in photography and other bits and pieces of tennis. So it's nice to just give those angles and see how other people get on with their day-to-day job and how they got into tennis. And not everybody hits tennis balls. It's a short episode and I hope you get something from it. Lastly, if you're new to the podcast, hello, I'm Fabio, by the way, your host. You mainly find me at the Instagram account, Functional Tennis. Come over there and say hello. And if you have any recommendations for videos, let me know. If you enjoy the podcast, please open up the app you're listening to us with and leave us a nice review. Would really appreciate that. But more importantly, let's listen to Regina's story. Hi, Regina. Welcome to the Functional Tennis Podcast. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. Really wanted from day one to get a photographer on the podcast and just to see how life is as a tennis photographer on the pro tour. Tell me, where are you now?
I am at home in Mexico City.
Okay, so are you doing some preseason training like all the pros now?
Yeah, well, basically resting for next season.
Have you been traveling since last January?
Yeah, since last January I started.
God, that's really tough. You're like a player traveling week on week. You probably get less breaks than those guys because you got to show up at every single tournament every week. Is that true?
Not that true. I do some tournaments, not all of it.
How many tournaments did you do in 2019?
12.
12, okay. But mainly they were the Masters and they were the big, you did the big tournaments.
I did the big tournaments and yeah, tournaments in Mexico.
Great. Okay, let's cut it back. Let's go back in the early days. Do you have any background in tennis?
Not really. I just play for fun and that's it.
When did the interest for photography come along?
Since I was a little girl, I loved to take pictures. And growing up, it was basically, I don't know, my family liked it. And then I started my own path into photography.
Great. And what was your first gig as a photographer? What was the first thing you got paid for to photograph?
Well, my first gig actually were like weddings.
Okay. It seems to be pretty standard for a lot of photographers. It seems to be the easy money is in the weddings.
It is. It's not that easy, but it's easier to get.
It's easier to get the work, but you're right. It's not that easy. You do a few and you're like, I'm never doing these again.
True. That's true.
When did the love for tennis, or when did you combine the photography with tennis? How did that come about?
So one time I went to Acapulco tournament here in Mexico with my family and I thought it was a good idea to bring my camera, and then actually it was because I started taking pictures and the action shots, I just love it, the action, the emotions and everything. So I said like to myself, maybe we can do this for a living. So that's when I started like doing it.
How old were you when you went to Acapulco?
Well, the first time I was like 15.
And when was the first time then you actually worked at a tennis tournament?
First time I was like 20.
Did you hone your skills at local tournaments during the 5 years?
Yeah, I started doing like Davis Cup or tournaments on clubs, on Mexican country clubs to have more skills. And then I have been learning for the past 4 years, like on big tournaments. You never stop learning, so.
No, definitely not. But I've seen your work this year. And from what I've seen, it's just got better month on month. And especially the stuff later in the year has been really good. So who do you work for when you're a pro photographer?
Well, you work for agencies or newspaper, tennis brands. It depends. I do freelance jobs. So I work for a lot of companies.
So let's say, is AP, that's a big photography company?
Yeah, that's a really big photography company.
And would you submit photos to them?
Well, actually, they have their own photographer on tennis.
Okay.
So I work for newspapers in Chile and in Mexico.
They buy the photos from you, or they pay you to be at the tournament and you send them all the photos?
Yes.
So you send Zelenko some of your photos. They pay you for each photo you send them. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Thank you very much for allowing me to share some of your photos. You don't charge us anything, which is great. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, no problem.
But maybe in the future, when we're bigger, we can start paying you for some photos, which we're more than happy to do. So you're going to these tournaments week on week. Who's covering the cost of your flights?
I have like a lot of partners, like newspapers and brands. So some pay the flight and another one pays the hotel and another pays the...
Okay, because that can be the most expensive part, going to tournaments. Obviously, the flights, you're flying from Mexico, especially if you're going home a lot. And then I know tournaments are all over the world. And then two, the accommodation, depending on where you're staying, can be really expensive.
Really expensive.
You're hoping you're getting that great shot. What is the secret in getting great shots?
Patience.
You obviously, you don't cover a match from point zero till match point. You move around courts and try and figure out the tense moments. Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I really don't like to be all the time on the same court because there's a lot of things going on. So I try to get a lot of emotions because that's what I'm interested in. And I play a lot with lighting. So I just try to move around the court and do different shots and have emotions and important moments like break points. When you're traveling, you know some of the players, how they interact in the court. So you know when it's going to be like a good moment, or you kind of know the moment.
There must be some players who are really good to photograph. And is there some players who you just don't bother photographing?
I mean, I take pictures of almost everyone, but there are some players that are really interesting on court. And you know that you will have always a good picture. I'm always at all the courts because I like all the players. There's different situations that you don't know what's going to happen. So
There's always a different situation. Correct. Who's your favorite player to photograph?
Oh, to photograph. I don't know. I think Roger is really good, or Denis Shapovalov. He just moved amazing in court. So I love the pictures.
You get a lot of air photos with Denis.
Yeah. I love it.
Surely though, Federer as well, him being the most popular player out there, the press probably want his photos a lot more. So does it make sense to photograph him more?
Yeah, of course it makes sense. Like the big four, they're always selling the pictures. So,
but obviously the competition is harder as well because everybody's photographing them. So it's a bit of a, it's not as easy as we're making it out to be.
Yeah, Federer's match are always crowded with photographers. So,
do you prefer to be in the photo box behind the court or the side of the court, or you just move around between both, as you said?
I move around, yes.
Okay, you're looking for that perfect shot.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so I move around.
And tell me, what players do you not like photographing? Is there one that stands out that never gives you anything? You try really hard and you just don't get it.
Oh, that's a tough question. No, I don't know. I mean...
Okay, it's okay to say you don't know. That's a good politically correct answer. Do you enjoy when you're photographing the matches? Do you enjoy watching the matches?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I love tennis and I love photography, so I combine two passions.
But can it be a bit of trouble to get too sucked into the match and then sort of lose track of work? Has that ever happened?
Not really.
Okay, well, that's, you're very professional. So going on to courts, are some courts better to photograph than others? Is there any that stand out in particular that are really good?
Yeah, Philippe Chatrier on French Open is amazing.
What makes it amazing?
They have like the photo box. Philippe Chatrier on Roland Garros, it's amazing. Lighting, it's amazing. Clay, it's amazing. I don't know, the stadium is so cool. So
clay does always look amazing on photographs. I saw you had some Federer ones up hitting a backhand and just thought it was beautiful with the clay, him obviously, and then the background, it looks really well. This podcast is brought to you by ASICS Tennis. ASICS is a Japanese company founded in 1949 with the purpose of giving more people the opportunity to experience how sport and movement can have a positive impact on mental well-being. That purpose is also in their name. ASICS is an acronym which means Anime Sano Incorporate Sano, a Latin phrase meaning sound mind, sound body. Today, the brand is still dedicated to that founding belief of demonstrating the positive effects sport and movement can have on our mental well-being all over over the world. They just launched their most innovative tennis range ever, which includes the new Court FF3 Novak, the shoe designed from the ground up with the help of Novak Djokovic. Get your pair now at asics.com. And you seem to, I saw some of your indoor work between in Madrid. You're in Madrid for a few days at the Davis Cup, and then about 10 minutes later, I saw you at the Federer match. Was that in Mexico? No, Mexico was cancelled, was it?
No, it was in Mexico.
It wasn't Mexico. You just must have, you just straight from court to court. But let's say at the Davis Cup in Madrid, it was indoors. Is it much harder to photograph indoors, or do you have more control because there's no natural light?
No, it was so hard. The lighting was so bad. But we managed to get, like, me and the other photographers, a good setting. And I like to play with light. So there was like lights on the stairway. So I managed to get it on the background, like really good. I love the pictures, but the lighting was so bad. It's so difficult.
If anybody's listened, well, hopefully there is people listening to this. check out Regina's Instagram and we'll link to it after and be in the show notes. But you check out her account and you see some of her photos. They're really dark and moody, and I thought they were great. And they're actually great to work with from using on websites and various different things because the text can stand out, but also the photos are great. So yeah, you did a great job. Then you went into Mexico. What was that like, seeing Federer and Zverev?
It was amazing. It was really different to all the tournaments I have done. This was the biggest crowd I have ever been. So there was a lot of noise and a lot of emotions. There was a lot of people crying to watch Roger, and there was just an amazing crowd. So the day was amazing. Federer was amazing here in Mexico. The Brian Bros and the Mexicans played amazing. So it was so worth it, like the jet lag.
Okay, well, you got great tennis, you got great photos, you got great everything. That sounds like it was a lot of fun. And what's the plan for next year? The exact same again?
Next year, I'm trying to do more tournaments. I will start with ATP Cup in Brisbane and then moving to Australian Open.
Great. And then just going all the Masters, Grand Slams and some 500s.
Yeah, hopefully.
Great.
Let's see what happens.
A question about your day. So you arrive in, let's say, Melbourne. And what time do you start on site at?
Well, I start like 1 hour before the matches start so I can get all my equipment and put all my batteries to charge and, just get ready and do like a schedule of all the players that I have to take pictures of. And then I start taking pictures like at 12 maybe. And it depends on what time the matches end when I go home.
Okay, so you're just going all day. And yeah, let's say it can be tough doing day on day on day and the sun out there. And yeah, so look, we're going to move on to some questions that were asked. We had about a week and a half ago, we got up your photos. We had asked some of our followers for some questions. Now, I'll just go through. There's not too many of them, but like, how many shots would you take on a full day in total?
Oof. Oh, that's a tough question. It depends on the day if I get a good shots or not.
Okay, well, let's say not good shots. Let's say just in shot, would you take like 2,000 shots on a full day?
Yeah, it could be. Like on Grand Slam, there's way more, but like in smaller tournaments, yes.
And do you feel for the guys who used to do this before digital came along with film?
Well, they just tell me like 6 months ago that they were like trying to do the shot, get the perfect shot, then finish the film and then go and have the film and then send it to the newspaper. But it was like hours before you get the picture and you can see it. So it was tough.
Is there anybody still out there trying to use film? Is there anybody that crazy? I know there's all the hipsters out there are using their old school cameras and there's a lot of people using film, just like people use vinyl discs. But is there any photographers on the courts using film?
Yeah, there's one. He also have one, a digital camera. He just do it for fun.
Okay. And how many cameras do you have with you?
I have two. Like,
what are they?
I have one Nikon and one Sony. But I travel with two, but I prefer my Nikon one.
Oh, you prefer your Nikon one?
Yeah.
Are there different lens in both of them?
Yeah, it depends on the tournament. I have different lenses. I have like a 70 to 200 and 400.
What is, if I want to go out and take some photographs of some players at practice sessions, what camera and lens would you recommend for me that I can take some good photos and, yeah, just good sharp photos of the players that I won't be broke, by the way?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. I don't know. I have to think about the model, but the lens, I would probably say 70 to 200.
70 to 200, just because, yeah, you're never right in their face, so you need a bit of a, you need a good focal length.
Yes, that's true, and it's really sharp.
And is there any settings you can recommend to people, or it's just every tournament is completely different, or every court is different?
Yeah, every court is completely different, so I don't have like a magic combination for that.
You just got to play around the settings and figure it out.
Yeah. And every hour is different because of the lighting, so it changes.
I have two more questions. One is, if somebody wants to become a professional photographer, what tips or recommendations do you have for them to try and get into the tennis world?
My recommendation will be open to new things, work hard on what you want to do. And you can read a lot about photography online and just go practice.
So I go out, I love photography. I go out to my local club, my local tournaments, maybe Davis Cup at home. I take loads of photos. I get quite good. What is the next step after that? Do you send your photos to an agency, or what would be the next stepping stone after that? So you're a good photographer, you like tennis, you can take good action shots. What is the next step?
Showcase your portfolio and send it to agencies and see if someone's interested. If not, just keep pushing and getting better.
True, very. They're simple enough steps, but hard. But I just thought of something there. Credentials. I know we've mentioned before, over messaging about credentials. How easy or hard is it for you to get credentials at every tournament?
At first, it's really difficult. Now it's getting easier, but still, it's not easy.
It's always hard. Yeah, but you're better known now. People are using your photos. So, yeah, I understand it's a bit easier, but it can be. It is hard, isn't it?
It is hard.
I'm going to end this by asking you, of all the matches you've photographed, what is the best ever match you've witnessed?
That's a tough one. Let me think. Maybe Federer against Tsitsipas in Australian Open. That was a really good match.
Oh yeah, what made it so good?
The crowd was amazing. And Roger and Stefanos were playing great. So they give it everything on court. So
great. And tell me, were you at the Wimbledon final?
I wasn't.
Oh, okay. That might have been it, but...
Yeah, maybe, but I wasn't there.
You can't be at them all. But no, Regina, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And thanks for giving us a bit of insight into the pro tennis photography world.
Well, thank you for having me.
Super thanks to Regina for taking the time during her off season when she's relaxing to come on the podcast. Really appreciate that. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you're new or you've listened to a few episodes and you haven't subscribed yet, please hit subscribe button. If you thought it was a good episode or you enjoyed the podcast, leave us a review. But other than that, hope you're having a great December, eating loads of Christmas cakes, planning your Christmas presents, buying Christmas presents to your family, spending time with your family. It's a really important thing to do. Until next week, episode number 26. Goodbye.